Why don't you grab your Bibles, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read these first eight verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Ladies, at the end of the worship service, we have carnations to give out to you, so make sure you grab one of those. Dan McDevitt and the ushers will be back in the foyer after the service, giving those out, so grab one or two for yourselves. Just a small gesture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother, taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Let's pray together. Father, take these ancient words that were inscribed almost 2,000 years ago, carried on through the generations and delivered to us. Take these words and apply them to our heart through the amazing, miraculous, communicating power of your Spirit, so that we may grow, that we may be changed into Christ's image, that we may give honor to whom honor is due, and that we may glorify you in all things. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this may seem rather obvious, but not everyone is a mother. Not every Christian is a mother. So Mother's Day, when we celebrate Mother's Day, it does give us a rather narrow focus. But that's not a bad thing. There are some mothers who are among us, who are biological, have become mothers through the natural birth process. There are others who have become mothers through adoption. Some have taken others under their wings and become sort of a spiritual mother, just as the Apostle Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. So we honor mothers today, and I think it's an important thing that we do. But we also have to recognize that there are mothers who never really wanted to be mothers. There are some women who wish they weren't mothers, some who wish they were mothers. Never really had a chance. There are some mothers who came by motherhood by accident, some who came by motherhood through meticulous planning. There are some people who are profoundly thankful to be mothers, and there are people like me who are profoundly thankful that we aren't mothers. But not every Christian is a mother. But every mother, in some sense, is a minister. And every Christian is a minister. A minister is a servant of God. A minister is someone who is called upon to serve God faithfully. And every minister is called upon to know Jesus more and to make him known. We know that there are mothers in our world who do not know Jesus Christ. And yet God gave every mother the solemn charge to show Christ to their children. Now, we recognize that that oftentimes doesn't happen in our world where mothers don't know Jesus Christ. But that doesn't alleviate the solemn charge that God has given to every mother. Motherhood is not just about raising children. Motherhood is about evangelizing and discipling the next generation of Christ followers. And that's something that every Christian is called to do. And for us to be successful at this God-given task, it might be helpful on this Mother's Day 2017 to look at those characteristics inherent in the mother's job description, to find some clues about how we should carry out our Christian ministries, evangelizing and discipling the next generation of Christ followers. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul here, seems to do that well. He successfully has evangelized the people of Thessalonica, this people to whom he writes in this first letter to the Thessalonians. And he writes this letter to them to increase their already growing faith. But there are people there in Thessalonica who are accusing Paul and Silas and Timothy, Paul's team, accusing them of coming to town under false pretenses. Kind of like the snake oil salesman comes into town and sets up his tent and sells this stuff that is supposed to help people but really is there only to bilk people out of their money. There were people in Thessalonica, Jews within the synagogue, who thought that Paul was trying to do just that. And Paul is finding that he has to defend his ministry. And in order to defend his ministry, he describes his coming in terms of characteristics that define motherhood and fatherhood. Now, we won't look at fatherhood today. God willing, we'll do that in June. But characteristics that we as just the average human being find it hard to contradict within motherhood and in fatherhood. And by doing that, by drawing from motherhood, Paul draws a line of comparison between the nature of a good minister and the instincts of a good mother. And we're going to try to trace that line, and we're going to try to look at what those characteristics are so that we can learn lessons in our own ministry of raising the next generation of Christ followers. So if you follow along, we're going to look here at this chapter, these eight verses, as we find Paul describing his own evangelism and discipleship ministry. He's going to weave into that ministry those positive characteristics of motherhood in order to repudiate those accusations that there was something sinister about his coming to Thessalonica. So today, as you look at your outline, we're going to look at three descriptions of Paul's ministry that he draws from motherhood. Basically, three kind of instincts that mothers have in their own ministry raising their children. The first one is simply the ministry, that there is a service. There's a ministry involved with being a mother. And that ministry is carried over into the apostle's ministry. And the apostle uses a kind of not this, but that formula when he describes his own ministry and as he addresses his accusers. He says some things in these four verses, verses 3 to 6, that are kind of a not this. This is not what I came to do. He says, our message doesn't spring, verse 3, from error or impurity. His ministry is not about impurity, nor is it an attempt to deceive, he says in verse 3. He also says in verse 4 that it's not an attempt to please man. Paul is not a people pleaser. Of course, he told the Galatians in Galatians 1, verse 10, that if he were trying to please man, he would not be a servant of Christ. He didn't come for the sake of pleasing people. Impurity, deception, people pleasing. These are invisible characteristics that manifest themselves in the public sphere. But they're all an attempt to extract something out of someone else. But rather, Paul is trying to put something into these Thessalonians. He's trying to put life in them as he shares the gospel of Christ with them. He's not trying to take money out of them. He's not trying to take a service out of them. He's not trying to bilk them out of anything. He's actually trying to give them something. And he's trying to change them into God's image. He's trying to get them to be changed by God. And therefore, he doesn't have a sense where he's attempting to manipulate people with his words. So he doesn't come, in verse 5, with words of flattery, telling people the things that they want to hear. See, the gospel is opposite of that. As a business owner in the late 90s, I spent a lot of time reading marketing books. And the marketing books were all about getting people to say yes to your service. So the more time you can get the people to say yes, the better chance you have of selling your product or your service. So you get them to agree with you. Isn't it a nice day? Oh, yes, it is a nice day. Boy, isn't it difficult living in this life? Yes, it is difficult living in this life. So you say things that get people to agree with you. And then as you lead them along in agreement, you finally say, would you like to buy my product or service or some kind of way like that? And they say, they've been saying yes so long, it's just natural to say yes. See, that's kind of a flattery, a manipulative way of getting people to do what you want them to do. The gospel doesn't do that. Because the gospel says things that are offensive to us. The gospel tells us we're bad people. The gospel doesn't agree with our lifestyle. The gospel doesn't agree with our temperament, our personality. The gospel doesn't agree with our heritage or our traditions. The gospel is all about saying no to what we are currently doing. Years ago, John Piper made a very famous statement, well, famous within Christian circles, where he screamed it out in one of his conferences, John Piper is bad. And then someone took that video clip and matched it up with the Michael Jackson the bad video and did this kind of weird bad, John Piper bad kind of thing. Well, it's true. John Piper is bad. And so is Tim Allen. And so are you. The gospel doesn't try to flatter us and tell us the things we want to hear. And that's what Paul says. We didn't come with words of flattery. But verse 5, he also says they didn't come with a pretext for greed. They didn't come to Thessalonica hiding or covering up greedy intentions. If you're trying to cover up a duplicitous attitude or a greedy heart, you are going to go the flattery route. You're not going to want people to discover what's in your heart, so you're going to want to push them away with some kind of thing that's going to stop their inquisition. But Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't come with a pretext for greed. He basically comes working for a living as a tent maker so that he can pay his own way, just so that he can say, we didn't come getting your money from you. He didn't want people to give him their money just so that he could make sure that they don't think that's all he wants from them. So Paul doesn't come seeking money, nor does he come seeking glory from people in verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Point out, listen, we are apostles. We could have made demands, but we didn't. Pay attention to that, he says to the people of Thessalonica? We could have, but we didn't. See, this does not characterize Paul's ministry. And this is not the reason that he and his team came to town. But what was his ministry like? It's not this, but that. Look with me at verse 7. But we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Not all of this stuff, but he narrows it down, but this. Like a nursing mother. See, no one accuses a nursing mother of having false pretenses or ulterior motives when she's feeding her baby. No one accuses a nursing mother of attempting to defraud her child by spending the night feeding that baby at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so Paul uses this very clear metaphor of a mother feeding her infant at all hours of the night, at all times during the day, to point out that this is what his ministry was like. It was not an extracting ministry, it was a feeding ministry. He was feeding them God's word. He was building them up, strengthening them in their faith. In fact, the whole reason he writes this is so that he would strengthen what is lacking in their faith. And I think that's why this is such a striking metaphor for Paul to use. Although, quite honestly, it's not a very flattering image. The idea of a nursing mother, it's not very flattering. You can imagine all the imagery that went on last year during the presidential campaign where the two candidates were trying to capture various audiences. So we want the Hispanic vote, we want the African-American vote, we want the gay and lesbian vote, we want all these votes. So we're going to try to morph ourselves into that image. I didn't see Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton presenting themselves like nursing mothers to the people of the United States of America. It's not a flattering image. But that's the image that the Apostle Paul uses. He uses it to describe his own ministry. Let's take a closer look at the instincts that are employed in in Paul's ministry to the Thessalonians by virtue of a nursing mother. Number two, we have motherly instincts. Now, obviously, Paul was not a mother, but he does seem to be displaying some motherly instincts. Now, there's some kids at Christ Community Church that go to classical schools, and one of the cardinal ideals or cardinal searches within a classical school is to look at God's creation and search out within God's good creation truth, goodness, and beauty. So a person in a classical school will look at every possible opportunity to find truth, goodness, and beauty within God's creation. Well, that's what Paul's doing. And he's finding truth, he's finding goodness, he's finding beauty within the metaphor, the image of a nursing mother. And he says in verse 7, one of those instincts is the instinct of gentleness. This is one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Now, my mother raised 7 children. I got to say, she was not always gentle. But there were times when she knew that gentleness was what was necessary to get her point across. I can remember as a little kid, we used to go to what they called cottage prayer meetings. It was in the middle of winter in Wisconsin. And it was so cold that it didn't make sense to heat up the furnace of the church building. So we would have prayer meeting in people's homes. And as a little kid, I got to tell you, it was not the most exciting time of my life. Sitting through these long, boring Norwegian-type prayers within those from those people in Wisconsin. And I would always sit next to my mom because I was a bit of a mama's boy. And every time I got fidgety, all she had to do was just move her arm over and put her hand on mine. And that's all it took. I calmed down instantly. So that's a kind of gentleness that mothers know instinctively in helping their own children settle down. Well, Paul was gentle. Look with me at Acts chapter 17, where Luke describes Paul's coming to the Thessalonians. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. This is a very gentle approach. Verse 1 of Acts 17, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead." Paul reasoned. He explained. He proved. He didn't go with a rod of iron. He didn't go beating people over the head. He came explaining, proving, reasoning with people. That's a gentle approach to Paul's ministry. So Paul was gentle and caring and affectionate, we see in verses 7 and 8. But he was also giving. See that at the end of verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, "We were ready to share with you." Now, ready suggests that he was almost there. But the truth of that is that that readiness should better be translated, "We were eager." In other words, this wasn't something that we regretted doing, but this was something that we were eager to do. They were eager to share with the people of Thessalonica two things. Christ. They were ready to share the gospel. They were ready to share Christ. See, Paul was eager to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the proclamation that Christ has come to seek and to save the lost. Paul was not afraid to give Christ to the Thessalonians. Give Christ. John Ackley might appreciate this. This is a book by Paul Little. It's called How to Give Away Your Faith. How to Give Christ to Other People. And Paul Little in this book says this: "A genuine personal faith in and knowledge of the Lord is an absolute prerequisite, for Jesus Christ is the life and substance of our Christian witness. Only He can dynamically motivate us, constraining us to share His love with others." He also says later on in the book, "Although we're usually more concerned with the outward appearances, God's chief concern is with our inner life. He wants us to realize that all evidence of outward reality in our lives springs from the inner reality, which only He can give us." Paul is eager to give Christ. And the giving of Christ is something that springs from the Christ that is already inside of him. In other words, what Paul Little is saying is that we must have Christ to share Christ. It's not about outward appearances. It's about what is going on inside of us. Is Christ in us? And if Christ is in us, then Christ gives us the motivation to share Christ with other people. And this is a motherly instinct. Because mothers give what they have inside them to feed their nursing babies. Mothers give from what's inside. Fathers don't do that. But mothers do. And the idea of a nursing mother coincides with the way, the eagerness that Paul had to share what was already inside of him so that other people would have life through that Christ that was living in the Apostle Paul. And he's not afraid to give away that Christ, that gospel that is living inside of him. And because of that, he's also not afraid to give away himself. And he's eager to do so. And this is another key point. Paul is going to vindicate himself. And if he's going to do that, he won't vindicate himself with words. He's going to vindicate himself with actions. He's giving of himself, being ready or eager to share his life. And that's really going to prove his intentions. Because they don't see what's going on in his mind. They don't see what's going on in his heart. They only see his actions. And it's those actions, the giving of himself, the refraining from taking money from them, even though he had every right to do it, those kinds of actions that are going to prove his real intentions. And of course, the truth is that Jesus Christ himself displays these motherly instincts. And it was his standard by which he carried out his own ministry, his 33 years of life on earth. Well, we saw his ministry, we saw his motherly instincts. Finally, we see Paul's motivation. And you see that really at the end of verse 8. He says, because you had become very dear to us. Because you had become very dear to us. In truth, Paul really only had 3 weeks to spend with these Thessalonians because he was forced out by some angry Jewish people. But later, Paul sends Timothy to update to Thessalonica so that he can be updated on their progress. You see that in chapter 3, verse 6. So Paul spent a lot of time thinking about these Thessalonians and certainly praying for them. But for their part, many devout Greeks received Paul's preaching and they believed. And Paul may have found that very encouraging, which may have brought the two groups closer together. That even though Paul was not with them for a long time, it was still a meaningful time. A time in which they did receive that nourishment from God's word that Paul gave to them. If you've ever been on a short-term mission trip, you know how quickly you can create bonds with the people you're serving alongside of. And it doesn't have to be a long time. It can be a week. It can be 2 weeks. But as you're serving together in this difficult context, you can come together as a group of people and you can create ties, bonds with those people that you're serving there in that location. It doesn't take long for people to become very dear to us. And Paul's motivation for doing this is not to fulfill any requirements and not to check things off his list. His motivation was the fact that the people that he was serving, that he was ministering to, had really become dear friends of his. And we spend time with people and develop friendships with one another. They become dear to us. It becomes easier for us to give ourselves. That's the time that a mother spends with her children. She spends that time solidifying that bond, that relationship. So as those children grow up and leave home and go out into the world, it's almost as if a piece of that mother has gone with them. Because she has spent this time creating that bond, and those children have become very dear to her. So for those of you who are mothers, whether you're biological mothers or adoptive mothers or spiritual mothers, soon to be mothers, we honor you today. It's not because motherhood is so hard. It is hard. It's not because motherhood is so precious. It is precious. We honor you because created inside of you is a kernel of the gospel, which demonstrates an internal nature of self-giving and affectionate care, modeling for us the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we honor you today. That you have inside of you, created inside of you by God, something that we can all learn from. It's that little seed of self-giving, nurturing, gentle care, willingness, eagerness to give of yourself for the life of other people. That's something that we all need to and can learn from. So we honor you. And for those of you like me who are not mothers, we can certainly take a lesson from this and from the Apostle Paul, who drew from the right source to equip himself to take this message of reconciliation to the world. He wasn't afraid to be called a nursing mother, because it was in that that he was able to vindicate his motives and his ministry using the instincts of motherhood to share Christ with the world. Let's do that in our own ministries. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that we can learn from what we see within motherhood, and certainly this is tied to the Apostle Paul's own ministry and the vindication of that ministry to these naysayers, these accusers. Father, we recognize that we have an accuser, and Satan would like nothing better than to trip us up and to keep us from sharing Christ and to sharing our and keep us from sharing our lives with other people. Let us take a lesson from the Apostle Paul and from the kernel, the seed of motherhood that is within women that you have created inside them to naturally give themselves. Let us do that by virtue of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself gave, giving us the power, the motivation, the ability to do that with himself living inside us. In his name.